one of the things we learned as children, among the many lessons, is don't be a pest. Don't pester your parents. You probably learned that growing up as a child, and if you're a parent or a grandparent, aunt or uncle, you've probably said that to your children. When they come, they say, Dad, when are we going to go to the store? Not now. Dad, when are we going to go to the store? Not now. Dad, when are we going to go? No. Or Mom, I want that thing. No, you're not going to have that. Mom, I want that. No, you're not going to have that. Mom, I want that. Has anyone ever experienced that? Has anyone ever seen that? Has anyone ever done that? And so we become a pest and we think that's not the way we're supposed to behave. We see this as improper behavior, not the way things are supposed to be. So then we come to this story that Jesus tells, and it's almost as if Jesus is saying, this is how you're supposed to be, to be a pest. If you just pester God enough, if you just keep bugging God, if you keep pulling on his shirt sleeve, if you keep bugging him and bugging him and bugging him, maybe he'll say yes. And so we have this story, and so we're going to take a look at this and see, is that what it's really about? This is another one of those hard parables, another of those hard stories that we're not sure what exactly Jesus is getting at. We looked at a hard one last week about a man who was a con man and the way he encouraged us to use our resources. And so today, we're going to look at this story, what Jesus has to teach us about prayer. And so we're going to be in the Bibles in Luke chapter 18. And so kind of set the stage. Right before this, Jesus is with his followers and people are asking him about the kingdom of God. And this is one of Jesus' main topics that he teaches on, the reign, the rule of God in life. And so they've come to him and they've said, Jesus, when are we going to know? How are we going to know the kingdom is here? And Jesus tells them, don't look up at the sky. Don't look for signs up there. In fact, the kingdom is already here, here in your midst. Jesus is saying it's here in Jesus. But then he also says it's here, but it's also coming and it's going to come. And when it comes, there's going to be no doubt you're going to see it. It's going to be as the lightning shines from the east to the west. That's how you're going to know the Son of Man has returned. And Jesus also talks about something else. He talks about in the midst of that, there are going to be trials. There's going to be challenges. There's going to be persecutions. You see, Jesus is on a journey. The Gospel of Luke, this story that we're in the midst of, the Gospels are these stories of the good news of Jesus. And so there are four of those, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And Luke is one of them. And Luke portrays a lot of it as a journey. And the journey is Jesus heading to Jerusalem. And he's going to Jerusalem to die. And his followers are coming along with him. And he's taking them on this journey. And he's telling them that the journey they are going to go on is also going to be hard and difficult. That following him is going to be a challenge. And so he's painting this picture and saying, life is going to be hard. Life is going to be challenging. Life is going to be difficult. And then he tells this story. It says, then, this is the start of chapter 18, Jesus told his disciples a parable. So it follows right on this story of life being difficult and challenging. And it says, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. And this is a little different because a lot of times we're not told what the parables are about. But Luke chooses to introduce it and say, this is what it's about. So is it a story about pestering God? Is the point of the story to wear God down? Is the story that if we don't get our prayers answered, the problem is we just gave up? I don't think so. So let's take a look. So we have two characters in the story. There's two main characters in the story. We met them during the scripture reading. The first character is a widow. We're not told much about her, simply that she's a widow. She could be 20, 22 years old. She might be 40. She might be 60. We just know that she's lost her husband. We also know that as a widow, in that society, she was powerless and down at the bottom of society's rungs. She was down. She had no say. She was invisible. She was vulnerable. Because in those days, when a woman became a widow, she really only had a couple choices. She could go back to her family that she came from. But the problem was, to go back to her family, the family had to return all the money that was the bride price. So that seldom happened. So instead, oftentimes what would happen is the widow would stay in her newfound family, in the family she's married into. But in that family, she was typically at the bottom of the family. She would often end up as a servant. In some cases, the family might even sell her off to another family to be a servant or a slave. And so as a widow, she was helpless and vulnerable. Even though God had said all along to take care of the widows and the orphans, they were extremely vulnerable. And that's why God gave commands. You read through your Old Testament, your Bible, you see command after command to take care of the widows, because God is well aware of the vulnerability of widows. So we have the widow. And then we have a judge. And it says, this judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. This judge does not care what anybody thinks about him. Doesn't care what God thinks. Just does his job. And so we have these two characters. This judge is at the opposite end of the social scale. This judge has power. Imagine the judge, the power that the judge has to make decisions and to change people's lives. The judge is protected. He has status. And so we have these two characters that go on. And the widow has a case. We're not sure what the case is. It just simply says that there was a case. And she keeps coming to him with her plea. Grant me justice against my adversary. She keeps coming time after time. She camps out in outside his office door. She stalks him through the parking lot. She's following him everywhere. He's sitting down at the diner. He's there at the local Starbucks or whatever they had back then. And he looks outside the window, and there she is. Little sign held up, grant me justice. Everywhere he goes, she's around the corner. And finally, this judge has a conversation with himself. He says, even though I don't fear God or care what people think, he says, I'm not worried about what God thinks of what I'm doing to this widow, because I don't care what God thinks. I don't care about other people's opinions. So it doesn't matter if they look down on me, a judge, or think I'm an unkind man, or think there's something wrong with me that I've been ignoring this woman. But you know what? This woman, she's not going to stop. She's going to be everywhere. So that she won't eventually come and attack me. And eventually, he's saying, she's going to annoy me to death is the problem. And so just because of that, because I am tired of her pestering, just like some of us as parents sometime or grandparents, that we know we shouldn't, we don't want to, but we've been pestered so much, finally we say, here, fine. And that's what happens in the story. The judge says, okay, fine, fine. I'll hear your case and I'll give you justice. And then Jesus says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? And so as Jesus unwinds the story, he really points to two things in the story. He points to what God is like, and then he points to our response to that. And what Jesus says is, God is not like that judge. Listen to it again. He says, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones? And the way it's asked is kind of this expectation of course God will. And wouldn't God, who is so much more loving, isn't God who cares about people, isn't God going to bring, if this judge who doesn't care about God, if this judge who doesn't care about people, if that judge can bring about justice, what about God who cares and loves us so deeply? And so Jesus is pointing and saying, God is going to bring justice. God is going to bring about and make things right. And that's the word justice. When we hear the word justice, we have lots of different pictures. Justice is really making things right, making things the way they're supposed to be. And Jesus is saying, that's what God will do. God will bring about justice. May not come tomorrow. It may not come next week. But in the end, and that's, remember, if we put those two passages together, what has Jesus just been talking about? He's been talking about that the kingdom is here, but it's not quite yet. He's been talking about that one day he will return in power, and when Jesus returns in power, he will set all things right. So we live in this in-between time. We live in this time where there is injustice in the world. We live in this time when things are not the way they're supposed to be. We live in a time when things are not the way they're supposed to be. Which is what some people would call a BFO, a blinding flash of the obvious, right? That this time we live in now, things aren't the way they're supposed to be. How many of us look around the world and sometimes we don't have to look beyond the walls of our own house to know the world is not the way it's supposed to be? We turn on the radio in our car. We open our phone and scan the news. We turn on the television. We open a newspaper. We go to the coffee shop and we hear people talking. We realize the world is not the way it's supposed to be. And as followers of Jesus, one of our responses to the world not being the way it's supposed to be is to cry out to God. Is to pray and say, God, do something about this. God, you see the people in Syria who are suffering. God, would you do something about this? God, you see the people in Venezuela who are going without socks and clothes and food. God, would you do something about this? God, you see my mother laying in the hospital. God, would you do something about this? God, do you see my son who's suffering? God, do you see my daughter who's going through this horrible thing? God, would you please do something about this? Crying out to God for things to be right. And so Jesus is saying, if this judge who will not listen, who doesn't care about people, who doesn't care about God, if in the end that judge will give justice, how much more will God, who is loving and kind, grant us justice? And so Jesus starts with that. He starts with God who is faithful, God who is good, and then moves on to that and says, however, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on the earth? Remember, the parable started with Luke telling us that we should pray and not give up. And so what Jesus is equating is faith and prayer and saying, will we live a life of faith? Will we, in the face of all the troubles and the trials, will we continue to persist in prayer, or will we give up? And most of us, if we've been a follower of Jesus for any time, know that sometimes we get tired. Sometimes we get worn out. That sometimes we get exhausted. That we feel as if our prayers are bouncing off the sky. We feel as if no one is listening. We feel as if we've been put on hold. And even the music from Hold has stopped. And we're just sitting there wondering, is there anybody at the other end of the line? Is there anybody listening? And what Jesus wants us to know is, yes, there is somebody listening. Yes, God is listening, and in the end, he will do what is right. And so Jesus is saying, in light of that, in light of the faithfulness of God, in light of the goodness of God, continue to have faith. Because that's what I want to find. I don't necessarily want to find, that's what I want to find when I return, is will you have faith? Will you still be praying? And Jesus is described, and faith is one of those things we sometimes try and come up with a simple little short definition, say this is what faith is. But Jesus, all through the Gospel of Luke, has painted pictures of what faith looks like. And I want us to think about just a few of those pictures as we consider what Jesus inquired. Earlier on, he said faith can be as small as a mustard seed. This tiny thing. And if you just have that tiny little bit, you can say to this mulberry bush, be uprooted, and it comes uprooted. You can say to this mountain, go into the sea, and the mountain goes into the sea. That's what faith looks like. Faith looks like 10 men with leprosy who come before Jesus, and Jesus sends them off to be healed, and one of them on the way sees that he's been healed, and he returns, and he gives thanks to Jesus, and Jesus says, this is what faith looks like. Faith is the story of this Roman centurion who has a servant who's ill and sends for Jesus. And Jesus is on his way, and the centurion says to Jesus, you don't even need to come into my house. You can simply speak a word. That's how powerful you are. You can simply say it, and at a distance, my servant will be healed. And Jesus says, that's what faith looks like. Jesus was pressing through a crowd of people, and there was a woman who had been experiencing sickness and illness for 18 years, shunned, scorned by society. And she presses through, ignores what people will think of her, ignores what everything else is going on, and she reaches out just to grab his cloak. And Jesus says, that's what faith looks like. There's a blind man sitting by the road, and he's sitting there, and he hears that Jesus is coming, and he's crying out, Son of David, have mercy on me. And Jesus comes to him and says, what do you want? And the man says, I want to be made well. I want to be able to see. And Jesus says, this is what faith looks like. Faith, as Jesus describes it, is four men who have a friend who can't walk, and they carry him, and they bring him to the house where Jesus is meeting, and they climb up on the roof, and they use their fingers, and they tear off the roof tiles, and they tear through the mud, and they lower the man down and through the roof. And Jesus says, this is what faith looks like. That's what Jesus is talking about. He says, will you have faith? Will you continue to persist in light of all those things? Will you press your way through the crowd? Will you believe in my power at a distance? Will you be able to tear those roof tiles off with your hands? Will you be willing to cry out? Will you continue to have faith in the God who is faithful? And so Jesus wants us to remember both parts of that. That faith isn't something we work up inside ourselves. Faith isn't, but faith begins by knowing the one who is faithful. Our faith begins and ends and receives its power, its courage, its audacity, its persistence from knowing that God is faithful and good. God is faithful. God is good. And in the end, he will bring justice. In the end, all things will be set right. That's the hope. That's the foundation of our promise. That through Jesus Christ's death and resurrection, all things are being made new, but not yet. All things are being made new. And so we cling to that in hope and in faith. But we live in the in-between. We live in that time when it seems that our prayers aren't heard. We live in that time when there is injustice in the world, when there is racism, when there is hatred, when there is disease, when there is illness, when there is human trafficking. When all these things are going on, we live in a world of injustice where things are not right. But Jesus invites us to persist, to continue to have faith, even if it's as small as a mustard seed, to hang on, to cling to God who is faithful, to know and to trust that in one day all things will be made right. So will we have faith? We can. We know the one who is faithful. Because that's where our faith begins and ends. With God who is faithful and who is good. A God who is not like this judge. But a God who is loving and kind and gracious. A God whose mercies are new each and every day. The God who is faithful. Amen.